On that note, I'm just going to take the high road. Ready? Yeah. I would like everybody to remember this moment that Pastor Carlos embarrassed me. And in love to my brother in Christ, remember that sometimes revenge is slow. That's... Ouch. Ouch. Cardinal fan jokes. We deserve it. Well, everyone, good morning. It's great to be here and great to worship with you. And man, that was fantastic worship this morning. And just really thankful to be here. My name is Micah. If you don't know me, I was the lead pastor here from 2010 to 2017. And it's just great to be here. God's good. We have an oldest child who lives in Bloomington, just graduated college, but my wife Carla and our other two children, Josie and Isaiah, are here. Would you guys stand up real quick? Just stand up, say hi. No, seriously. Thanks. Don't be shy, because I'm going to make jokes about you in sermon illustrations anyway, so you may as well just stand on up. It's going to happen. So, but it's great to be in Hoopston this morning. Or for my first 6 months here, I called it Hoopston still, and I got in trouble all the time. True story. But the best part about the whole Hoopston thing in Hoopston was when we were moving here in 2010, I think it was the first time we visited the church. And if you guys notice, Carla has blonde hair, and she's incredibly intelligent. But as we were coming up here, I told her the story. She goes, "Why is it called Hoopston?" I said, "Well, it's because where the hula hoop was invented." And as I told her that story, we come up here and we're talking to people at the church. There was like a dinner on a Friday night. And I walk into a conversation and she's going on about the hula hoop. And she's asking this person, "Tell me about the hula hoop being invented here." And I said, "Honey," I said, "that was a joke." She got real red-faced and the person kind of just, it was awkward later on that night. She beat me, but it was okay because we got a good laugh out of it. So it was good. But would you guys pray with me this morning? Father, thank you that for we can be together as church family, and thank you for this time. And pray again, Lord, in your word in these coming moments, Lord, that we are all pointed more to you, that your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, and that you're glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, today, the sermon's a little bit of a different sermon, so you kind of your normal make some points and all those kind of things. Today's a little bit more of a story, really, about Abraham, and if you probably, a lot of you have heard a lot of sermons about Abraham, and you're like, oh, here we go. But just want to talk about Abraham for a moment this morning. Hopefully, there'll be a little bit of a new light. It's a story about Abraham, about the Hoopston Church of God right here, and really about the Mobley family, hopefully a little less than the other two, but we're going to talk about God's faithfulness by talking about Abraham, who, of course, is the father of Christianity and the father of Judaism and Islam as well. How many of you as a kid sang Father Abraham in like children's church or Sunday school? A bunch of us did. All the kids, they're gone now. They're probably like, we don't do that anymore. Maybe we do, but remember it. Matter of fact, I'm going to sing it for you this morning. No, I'm not. Nice. Yeah. You wish. I think Abraham is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. He's mentioned in, I believe, 11 or 12 books in the New Testament. If you have your Bible or a device you use this morning, we're going to be in Genesis 12 for the most part for a few scriptures. The first 10, 11 chapters of Genesis, a ton of time goes by, but then the next 12, 13 chapters talks really just a lot about Abraham. So, of course, Abraham was born Abram, and he married Sarah. And chapter 12 opens with God's call to Abraham. And in 12:1, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I show you.'" Now notice how that's past tense. The Lord had said to him, right? And it kind of reminds me of it's never too late to start or to start over with Jesus. I'm sure many of us in this room have a story. We're all in a lot of different areas and walks of life right now. But if I look at my life, I'm so thankful that it's never too late with King Jesus, right? It's never too late with him. And so here he was. And so Abram at this time was living in an area. He was comfortable, right? The towns were civilized, but they were ungodly. They were full of idols, kind of a lot like today. And the world has always been that way. The flood had not yet destroyed or wiped clean. Humans were choosing sin like we so often do nowadays. And Abraham was being called out. He was being called, right, to have this covenant and to honor God. And so we go on forward to verses 2 and 3 in chapter 12. It says, "I will make you a great nation," God says to Abram. "I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in all of the families of the earth in you shall be blessed. God is speaking his plan to Abram at this time, right? And God always has a plan. Isn't it great to know this morning? And if you don't know Jesus, you're not saved. I'm thankful you're here, right? So thankful you are, and you're seeking, exploring. But I would say most people here this morning probably are Christians or Christ followers. And it's a great feeling to know that God has a plan for our lives. He's already made a plan and a way for all of eternity. Amen. We get to go to heaven and be with him someday and have eternal life. But even right now, there's this plan that God has for us. And his plans are good. His plans are for hope and future and to work things together for good for us. And it's a wonderful thing. And my friends, if you will follow him, he will always, always, always be faithful. We may not always understand it. And this is kind of what's going on with Abraham here this morning. He was comfortable. He lived this place a long time. And I want to remind you that God's plan is not always easy or just on our terms. I don't know if the rest of you have lived that, right? My first 30 years or so of life, and I'll share a little bit more in a moment briefly, I kind of made some hard paths for myself, right? But now even in the last 10 to 15 years, this journey of following Jesus, this journey, especially in ministry, is always not always on our own plans. I mean, I think the hardest thing I've ever had to do in 13 years of ministry was to leave Hoopston, Illinois 6 years ago. But God is faithful, right? He knows what he's doing. Abraham at this time, back to the story, was 75 years old, right? Anybody here? I think there looks like there's a few of you that might be over 75. I'm not going to make any eye contact, but a few of you might be. We used to always had a senior group here, and I think I see some of you that went that. I believe, do we call it Young at Heart for a while, if I remember right, maybe? I don't remember, maybe for that was for a time, but I always said Young at Heart, Old at Body. We'll meet on Friday night, and nobody ever thought that was funny then either. So perfect. All right. We're in good company. Abraham was 75 years old, Genesis 12, verses 4 through 8. Let's go on. So it says, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and all the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So he responds in obedience. By the way, if you notice, I'm not reading from my pink Bible this morning. If you don't know, sometime really soon, if we have a chance, I'll tell you the story of the pink Bible. And I'll tell you the story now that I'm 47 years old and the print's really small to read from. So all of you that are older will appreciate that this morning if you wonder why. So Abraham responds in obedience to God. Right? Not the easy thing, not the comfortable thing, right? Everything was good where he was, but he trusted God to leave the people he knew and where he was comfortable, and that's what he did. And so I want to talk a lot. I see some really fresh faces this morning, and for those of you that maybe know the Mobleys and you kind of know my story or our story a little bit, I want to just remind you of the horror of it real briefly, just a testimony. So I was raised in a wonderful Christian family, raised in church, gave my life to the Lord at the age of 13, and really was doing all right with my faith until I went off to college. I went to college and discovered that life could be a lot of fun. I went to a university where they weren't very Christian friendly, which is, of course, the case a lot of places now. And started to kind of wander from God, stopped going to church. I always tell the story. My parents would always ask me if I went to church when I was away at college. And so since they always asked me what I would do on Sundays is, when I finally woke up, I would go find the closest church, drive through the parking lot, and go back home. And then I could tell them, yes, I went to church. So I was lying, but that's kind of where I was. And as I started to wander from God, I then graduated college, got into the world, and really was just really far from God, not going to church, anything like that. And I was in the banking industry and was a senior lending officer at 26 years old. So I was way too young and immature, which I'm still the immature part for sure, not the young part. Way too much. And honestly, just had a lot of life things go on I had a really bad marriage both ways and went through a divorce and still running from God. He couldn't get my attention because I was stubborn and prodigal. And I forgot to mention at age 13, I was called into ministry when I was saved. Immediately I knew it. And so a short time after that, met a young woman named Carla, who is sitting here today. And she didn't know a whole lot of my story, but I was watching my daughter Ellie one day when I got a knock on the door from the FBI. And if you've ever had that happen, you probably haven't. It's not something you'll ever forget. I was a senior lending officer, and I wasn't like stealing money or anything like that, but I was living really fast, really far from God, really morally off. And we had had some good old boy stuff going on, and I was told that I might be serving a little time over this, and I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense. But the next 3 years of my life, Carla and I got married shortly after that, and the next 3 years of my life, I spent running from God, saying, you know what, I'm going to prison anyway. Why not just live how I want and live it up? And I was a horrible husband, and God was still trying to get my attention, still trying to get my attention. And Carla wanted to, rightfully so, leave me a time or 12. And God kept telling her, just, I'm going to get a hold of him one day. That's what the Holy Spirit kept telling her. She kept hearing, I have a plan. So anyway, in 2006, I served about 20 months in a federal prison camp. I'd been there about a month, and I was walking around the outdoor, the big, you know, track of Club Fed there, or whatever we used to call it. And I remember not hearing audibly, but hearing God's voice of saying, hey, Micah, do I have your attention now? And I'll never forget, because from the time I was 13 until I was, I believe, 31 at that time, I had never really been broken, obviously. And at that moment, I said, God, you know, forgive me of my sins and how I've been living my life, and I just of my wicked ways, and I give my life back to you. And over the coming weeks and months, God reminded me, Micah, you have a call in ministry. Now, at this time, I owned a restaurant and some real estate. Life was waiting on me back home, whatever, and Carla was waiting on me miraculously as well. And God kept speaking that and speaking that and speaking that. And so over the coming weeks and months, I got back home, and I spent about a year or two, and God had to break me of some more stuff. I was speaking at some churches, et cetera. But in 2010, I knew that we were about to be called forward in ministry. I was living the dream. I was getting to preach. I was running my restaurant, and we lived in the same town as my parents. So we had nonstop babysitting and free meals and mom's home cooking and all that, right? Never really wanted to leave. But again, the call's not on our terms, right? So in 2010, I got home one night from the restaurant and had a voice on their answering machine. It was Sam Terrell. I'm sure a lot of you know Sam. And my first thought was, man, this guy's got a deep voice. And maybe a lot of you don't know Sam. My second thought was, where in the world is Hoopston, Illinois? And I'm like, I've never heard of it. And so I've never heard of a corn jerker, right? Never heard of jerky. Started doing some research. I'm like, well, that's a small town. But, you know, God's good. And in the 7 years here, God did so many things. We raised our kids in this church. This building project was able to happen under great leadership, and I didn't get in the way too much, hopefully. The year when we left here in 2017 on Easter morning, three services, we had 900 people here at church on Easter morning. Well, hold on. We could say, wow, but guys, under Pastor Carlos, God wants to do that and more in the future. You understand that? Amen? That's right. And God's going to. He's going to. I'm excited for it. God is so faithful. And so about 2016, we started to realize maybe God had a new chapter for the Mobley family and for the Hoopston Church of God. And we had one condition. We wanted somewhere larger and somewhere warm, which were the same two conditions when before we were called to Hoopston. We'd like to live in a bigger city and maybe somewhere warm. Well, you guys know it's not real warm in Hoopston in the winter, is it, right? So we started really praying, and we got it down to two churches, one in Huntington, Indiana, Faith Community Church of God, where I'm currently the pastor. The other one was in San Diego, California. And so when we moved, we're called to Huntington ultimately in 2017. That first winter, we got a dose of reality. We get lake effect snow up there. So it's way worse, right? And so every time it would be freezing and awful, and I would try to talk to my wife, she'd go, San Diego, like that. Yeah. I'm like, well, honey, you're probably right. But God's been really good. We're going to get back to Abraham in a moment, I promise. So Faith Community Church of God was a covenant church within the Church of God, meaning they had asked for help. They had built a big building on the edge of town, about the previous decade since they built it, they'd only had about five people baptized in that decade. They'd gotten down to about 50 or 60 people, a lot of whom were older. And to be honest, God has been so faithful in these last 6 years. We've had about 75 people baptized. We now have a full-time preschool in the church. We are supporting and involved in some men's and women's residential homes for people coming out of either prison or addiction, et cetera, and just really God's doing really good things. And I say that to give God glory in that God is two for two and God is faithful. And one of these days, God's going to be three for three. I'm telling you that right now. All we have to do is be willing, all of us. And usually in our lives as believers, it's the daily stuff, right? Like how often are we really like tempted with the huge things, or is it some big thing? Really for you as a follower of Jesus, it's that daily. Am I going to spend time with Jesus? Am I going to treat my spouse, kids well? Am I going to be a good boss or a good employee? Am I going to be faithful when no one's looking? Am I going to try to live holy? Because the Bible says without holiness, no one will see God. Amen? So how it's the faithfulness in the big things and the small things. Because we know God is faithful. And God has this covenant faithfulness. I think one of the messages today is to start being faithful in areas where you aren't. And it won't always be easy, but God will bless because God is faithful. He is. So back to the story. God speaks. Abraham obeys. He shows up. Abraham worships. Like God called him to do something uncomfortable. Like what's when you get bad news or something you don't like or whatever it might be, right? Is your first inclination to worship? Mine's probably not. Sometimes it's I don't feel like worshiping at that time. But that's the time we need to worship and remember what God has done and how good God is. And most of the time, guys, when we're being blessed and things are going well, right, all God is asking of us is just this basic obedience. And yet we struggle with that. So God gives Abraham this vision, right? And God says, Abraham, here's the deal. He goes, look at the stars in the sky. You'll have more offspring than that. And remember, Abraham had no kids at the time, so it had to seem ridiculous, right? He had no kids. And he's like, I'm going to have a bunch of offspring. I'm old. My wife is old. And just didn't make any sense, right? But Genesis 15:6 says that Abraham believed in the Lord and that God accounted it to him for righteousness. See, guys, so often God is just, it's not a test because he wants us to fail. It's a test because he knows he's faithful. The question is, will we be faithful? And what I've seen so often in my life and I've done and been guilty of, and I've seen in 13 years of ministry by the grace of God, is that God's over here with this incredible blessing, this providence, this goodness. And more often, somebody will take a step or two and say, oh, you know what? I don't see it happening. Two churches, 7 years, 6 years. So many times people will come and they'll be going through something and give their life to the Lord or back to the Lord. And then they'll come in my office 2 weeks later and say, you know, I came to church 2 weeks in a row. I prayed like 10 times and God still hasn't fixed it. And I have to go, oh, gosh, that's not necessarily how God works. Sometimes he does the miracle, right? But sometimes it's we just have to hang in there and we have to be patient and have faith, right? So Abraham responds to God like we should with just yes, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. Absolutely. Amen. Just yes. And that's how we should be. Yes, Lord, I will love. Yes, Lord, I will forgive. I will serve. I will tithe. I will worship. I will be all in for King Jesus. Because obedience isn't always easy, is it? It's not. There are things that sometimes it's tough, but it's always worth it because God is faithful. But as time goes on a little bit, and remember, I'll kind of give a spoiler alert. It was 25 years from God saying this, if I remember right, to when they finally conceived and had Isaac. 25 years, right? Because so doubt creeps in. And if you don't know the full story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, I don't have time this morning. I'm not going to do that. But I do want to encourage you to really dig into it. It's a great, great story. So the short version is doubt creeps in for Sarah, so she comes up with a plan with Hagar, and it worked until there was a dispute, right? And so Hagar runs away and comes back, and she has Ishmael. If you don't know the story there, he wasn't the intended offspring, but they got outside of God's plan. It didn't mean God still wasn't going to work his plan, wasn't going to honor, because I've lived a lot of my life outside of God's plan. And if you're there this morning, I want to encourage you, go back to him, because he'll redeem, he'll restore, and he will bless, right? But this is what happened, and so now we have billions who have chosen to align with Islam because of the situation with Hagar and having Ishmael, and it's a long story, right? But even despite that, God kept appearing, God kept confirming this covenant. Hey, Abraham, I promise this, right? And I'm God, it's my plan, and I'm faithful. You're going to be the father of many nations and many kings. And again, they were always kind of like, huh? I'll tell a story back to my story. When I was running, I had a restaurant I ran for about 10 years, and it was during all that time. And first, the main time was those 3 years I was really running from God. I had a youth pastor who was my youth pastor when I was saved, and her husband, one of their children is one of my best friends to this day. They actually work for Samaritan's Purse. They travel around with Franklin Graham, and I don't know, you guys still do the shoeboxes here? So yeah, Samaritan's Purse, right? And so when I was at my most prodigal, didn't go to church, terrible husband, but they would always eat at my restaurant a lot of days, and she'd come by our front kitchen window, and I'd be like, hey, I'll call her out. I'll call her Susan, because her name's Susan. I would say, hey, Susan. I said, good to see you. She goes, Micah, can't wait to hear that first sermon. And in my mind, I would think, lady, you're a lunatic. Love you, Susan. Yeah, sure. But I'm thinking, what is she talking about? But she knew God's call and God's faithfulness. Even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. Read the story of Jonah. God's faithfulness does not always follow our desired timeline or our desired path. That's something that I want to encourage you with this morning. He's still faithful. Some of you, there are people sitting here this morning that are holding things nobody knows about. They've got some bad news, some things, some stuff, and you're like, oh, people don't even know. I want to encourage you, God is faithful. God is working it together for good. But now for a lot of us, it's really just our own flesh. It's our own humanity. Thank God there's grace. But today's cultural mantra is what? You know, YOLO, you only live once. It's your life. Make your own truth. Do what makes you happy. Do what you want to do. Follow your heart. There's a great one that'll get you in trouble. Follow your heart. I want my life my way. But in following any of those is rejecting Jesus. It's not always the easiest. Moving away from Hoopston, Illinois was not easy. It's not what we wanted. It's not what the kids wanted. But we have to follow God and trust Him because He is faithful and can be trusted. Because when we obey God, it's less of a comment on our belief in ourselves and more a comment of our belief in Him and our trusting Him. And that's just a fact. He is faithful. So it's not till Abraham is 100 years old, he finally sees this come true, right? He had to wait 25 years. How would you guys do with that? 25 years? Are you guys kidding me? 5 minutes in the McDonald's line and you're Facebook posting hate posts. I see them. But let me encourage you, drive-thrus in Indiana are slow and get stuff wrong too, okay? So I want to stand up for the Hoopston McDonald's. But seriously, I had to wait 7 minutes, and I got home, and my double cheeseburger was just a cheeseburger. Half the world's hungry, let's remember that. But 25 years, I'm not the world's most patient person. Nobody in my family or that knows me, amen that, please. 25 years he had to wait. I can't even imagine. I wouldn't have. Could you imagine? 25 years. I can't. Let's go on and read in chapter 21 of Genesis, verses 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, and at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, and when he was 8 days old, as God has commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear this will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. They laughed. Like, there's no way that's the most ridiculous 100 years old bearing a child. Guys, God is faithful. And nobody in this room, except for Carla, I believe, knew the old Micah. We're talking like from ages, you know, 18 to 30. It was terrible. The most worldly, sinful, ready to fight, angry, arrogant, you can't even imagine. And speaking of laughing, I'll never forget when I got home from the camp in early 2008, my home church was on the main drag there in the town in which we live, a little bigger than Hoopston, but not huge. And they had the big sign out front, and we were between pastors, so they put, now speaking this Sunday, Micah Mobley. And somebody called the church and said, somebody's messed with your sign. Because I know Micah Mobley, and he's not preaching. So kind of like we just had to laugh, like when Sarah had the kid at 100. Listen, you can't ever underestimate God. He is so, so faithful, right? So faithful. Because, again, I would have given up 25 years. And here's what Hebrews has to say about Abraham. It says, by faith Abraham, in Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is on the seashore. We haven't even seen anything yet regarding Abraham's faith. We're about to see that. You might know this story. In Genesis 22:1-2, it says, now it came to pass after these things that, remember, he had this son. God promised he had to wait 25 years. He's like, I finally have a son. And, of course, there's a lot of idle sermons in this. But you think about what's most important to you in your life. It's got to be your family. For some, it's your money. It's your job. It's all kinds of things. And these are usually good things. But they're not good when they get in the way of God. When they get in the way of church, when they get in the way of loving and forgiving, when they get in the way of serving others and et cetera, et cetera. So in Genesis 22:1-2 says, now it came to pass after these things that God had tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. The human sacrifice was pretty common in the ancient world. It was later, of course, outlawed by Old Testament law. And Abraham at this point didn't know the why. He just trusted God and obeyed. Verses 3 through 8, it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and I will go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look at the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Can you imagine? I really can't. Imagine sacrificing one of your children just because you said, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to trust God. It had to be an incredibly hard time. Yet what did he do when Abraham, he got there? God saying, here, you waited your whole life for this. I promised this. Here's your son. Take him. I want you to sacrifice him. And what was Abraham's response? Worship. My God in heaven, if we as God's people, if everybody sitting here as the Hoopston Church of God, if during the hard times and when people are mean to you, people are mean to your kids, and people are nasty and spiteful and life isn't fair, your response was, instead of I'm going to get them, this is not fair, this is not right, I'm going to post this, say this, do this, I'm going to worship because I trust God to take care of this. I trust God to make a way. I trust God to grow through this. I trust God to make things right. What if our response was worship? My goodness. He got up early. He trusted God to provide. I wonder how many times Isaac had heard his birth story by that point in time. You ever think about that? I wonder how many times they're like, Isaac, you're a miracle. You shouldn't be here. It was God's grace and God's goodness and God's provision that you're... Listen, these two little floppy blonde headed ones here, neither one of them should be here. It's part of my story. I gave you the short version this morning. They're a miracle. All of your children, they're all miracles. They're all gifts from God. But it's God working. I wonder how many times Isaac had heard the birth story. So you know what? If I was Isaac, I'd have said, Dad, I know we trust God, but look, a lamb, and I'd have ran away. You're not burning me alive. But you know what? I bet Isaac trusted God too. You want to know why Isaac trusted God? I wonder how many times he heard the birth story. He heard mom and dad saying, God's faithful. We don't question. We just trust and obey. God was faithful, God is faithful, and God will be faithful. He knows what he's doing. That's probably why he didn't run away. So parents today, grandparents, whomever, what do your children hear? What do they hear about others? What do they hear about God's faithfulness? What do they hear from you when you're home and nobody else is listening? Because how you live and talk and do is showing them a lot. Coming to church on Sunday is wonderful. It's always going to be part of following Jesus and trusting God. But our attitudes and actions in our lives show what we really believe. Do we really believe that God is faithful, or is it just something that we say? Well, I know God is faithful, and in my 47 years, I keep trying to call myself, I just had a birthday, keep trying to call myself 46, or I'm just getting old and forgetting my age, possible too. One of the coolest things I've seen is God's faithfulness to the Hoopston Church of God. Like, seriously, this church has a fantastic past, present, and future. I remember coming here as a new pastor and hearing stories about the saints of the church that, listen to this, if you've not heard this, well, if you've heard it before, there I go again telling the grandpa story, but I'm sure some of you haven't. One of the reasons that we're out here in this sanctuary today is because there were people in decades past, there were old women in the church that didn't run their heat in the winter so they could give extra money to the building campaign of this church. A building they'd probably never see in their lifetime, and they knew it. That was the kind of faith they had. Tom Spears here this morning, and I remember him telling stories when we decided talking about building and this was going to happen, being told to build a sanctuary that would ever seat over 200 people in Hoopston, Illinois is ridiculous. What are you guys thinking? So we built it for 300. And on our first Sunday in 2012 in here, late 11, we were already outgrown it. God's faithful. We just have to trust him. We just have to obey. I want you to think about Hoopston, Illinois, deciding to hire Micah Mobley as their pastor, who had no pastoring experience, had no seminary degree at the time, and was, let's just call me what I am, a felon. It's on my record. What were they thinking? But God knew what he was doing. God knows what he's doing with Pastor Carlos here, even though he's like 19. He's young. That's one. I owe you two more. He's not that young. He's fantastic. God knows what he's doing. He always does. And the best is yet to come, church. It is. I'm telling you, God has fantastic plans. So let's finish up with Abraham this morning, right? So Abraham is trusting God, right, no matter what. So he builds an altar, and he lays the boy on the wood. He raises the knife, and then God shows up. Genesis 22:12 says, "And God said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, and since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" Again, as I said earlier, God will always be faithful. He will always meet us. But so often, and I've been guilty of this, but as I get older and grow in grace, do you know, as Pastor mentioned this morning about life transformation, every one of you is a Christian. Your goal right now is to be becoming a little bit more like Jesus all the time. You know that's the goal this side of heaven, right? And we slip up and we make mistakes and we fall short, but that's why there's grace, but we keep going. We keep going. And as I mentioned earlier today, the issue is we normally just give up too fast. We don't seek him enough. He's faithful no matter what. He is good. His promises can always be trusted. But we usually don't make it to him. So where in your life today, because everybody has areas, I have areas, where in your life do you need to trust God? Where do you need to start obeying? Where do you need to take a step or two towards him? That's the real question. Let's finish the story with verses 13 through 18. "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord said, called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, and he said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" See, Jesus comes from his lineage. So this morning, if you hear nothing else, hear this. My faithfulness, your faithfulness, or lack of, matters more than you think it does. It matters more than you can imagine. Your faithfulness to King Jesus, your faithfulness to loving and serving him and others, your faithfulness to Jesus. Hey, when a man and woman are married, what are they? They're one, right? A bride and a groom. The church is Jesus' bride. Can't be separated. You can't love Jesus and not like or be part of or care about the church. Your faithfulness to the church matters greatly as well. God is always faithful. So church, I think that holiness needs to be prayed for. I think there is always, with all of us as Christ followers, it's an ongoing, perpetual thing. I think repentance needs to happen. I think there needs to be some healing in this church as well, which God has done, is doing, and wants to do more of. He has great things in store. We need to get back to faithfulness, to obedience, and in our daily lives, stepping out in faith, because God is faithful. And at this time, I want to ask my wife, Carla, if she would come out, because we have a story this morning about God's faithfulness and a testimony about stepping out in faith and God's faithfulness and our ability to trust him. And why is there a baby stroller over there? What is going on? Okay, here you go, honey.
So one of the things that really resonates with me is a parable that Jesus told that I believe connects with Abraham about plowing your fields. You know, Jesus said that, hey, there's going to be rain. One farmer hears that and goes forth and plows his field, gets ready for what God is going to do. And the other one's like, well, I believe you, but he doesn't really do much. So when God speaks to you, when you know that there's been, you know, something spoken, a command, a promise, then you need to go forth and do something. I mean, what would have happened in Abraham's story if he wouldn't have split the wood? I mean, that God wouldn't have seen that he was being obedient. So I want to tell a story about this picture. And in the story of Abraham and all the people that go after him in the Old Testament, when God does something amazing for his people, and it happens time and time again, they lay down a stone to commemorate and remember what God did. So when Micah was incarcerated, Josie probably would have been about the age of Isabella. And one night, my little third floor apartment, I'm feeling sorry for myself. Like, we were a hot mess. His parents weren't a big fan of me. My parents weren't in my life. So I was just feeling sorry for myself. So I loaded Josie up, and we went to Evansville. Like, we lived in Princeton at the time. I put her in one of these little umbrella strollers. And I've always hated these things, one, because they're made for short people, and I always feel like the Hunchback of Notre Dame when I'm, like trying to push it around. They're all, like, wobbly. So I was pushing Josie around this a place called the Vineyard Christian Bookstore. And a couple of weeks prior to this, like, specific day, I knew what God had said about Micah becoming a pastor. Actually, we together in the prison visiting room made some notes about what God spoke to us about our family, like in the front of this. And I was sharing with one of his family members, like, when Micah gets back home, he's going to be a pastor because God's, like, done a work in his life. And I heard, like, I'd heard multiple times, oh, honey, everybody finds God in prison. We'll see. So I was just, like, kind of, like, tired of hearing about it. I'm, like, pushing Josie through the store, and I get to this picture. It's hanging on the wall, and I read it. It said, like, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. And it has, you know, one of my favorite verses from Isaiah, like, you'll show, like, soar high on eagle's wings. My family makes fun of me because I love eagles, and we're in our town where we live, the Wabash River is there's a lot of eagles. I'm like, oh, eagle. They're so normal, they kind of don't care anymore, but they get excited because it makes me happy. And I'm there looking at this picture, and I heard very clearly from the Holy Spirit, buy this picture for Micah's first office. Like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's crazy. I lived on one income. I think I made a little over $28,000. I'm like paying child support for our oldest, car payment, rent. I didn't have a lot of disposable income. I'm like, not only did it not make sense financially, I mean, let's think about this. I've got to get this picture under one arm, get this, like, how am I going to carry this picture in one arm and push her? I got to ask for help. I don't like asking for help. If you know me, I'm pretty independent. So I've got to figure out a way to get this picture under one arm and this stroller all through the store. And, like, that's asinine. That's stupid. I'm not buying this picture. So I actually go to the front of the store, and I start to leave. And I almost felt like I hit a roadblock, and, like, okay, fine. I'll go and buy the picture. So I ask for help. I load this up, and I did not tell a soul that I had this picture because it just seemed so ludicrous. Like, why would I spend money? I'd put it under the bed, never said another word about it. Micah didn't know I had it. He gets home. He's been doing ministry. And on Isaiah's first birthday, August 1st, 2009, y'all voted for Micah to come here. And 2 days before that, someone decided, like, I got hired in the spring, but I'm not coming to Hoopston. So they just had this open English teacher position waiting, almost like God just opened that door. So 2 days later, I'm back in Hoopston for an interview at the school, and he has no idea about the picture. And I go over, the church office was over here at the house next door, and I walk in, I introduce myself to Sinem. I'm like, hey, I know this sounds crazy, but I need to hang this in Micah's office because God showed me a long time ago that this would hang in his office so that when he gets here, this will be in his office. So, church, I just wanted to share today that this picture is a stone for the Mobleys, a symbol of his faithfulness, that what he says is true. And this picture will hang starting July 17th in the new offices that you build where Micah and Pastor Carlos start serving you all together.
I have terrible news. We're back. God's good. And listen, I am coming here to serve for and with Pastor Carlos. This young man, I got to tell you, so thankful and so blessed, and Jasmine and their family as well. We just started. I'll be really brief. Where'd that stroller go? That was creepy. Oh. So probably with the last 6 months to a year, we started feeling like our time at Faith was close to done. And you know, unfortunately, in America, there's a pastor shortage. There's a pastor shortage in the Church of God. And we started praying about where God's going to take us, et cetera. And we're just within the last couple of months in just talking to your elders and Pastor Carlos, and I'm like, well, our heart never really left Hoopstead. What would that look like? Would that be a possibility? And God just said, yes, 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 and yes. And I am so thankful for that. And that's really it for this morning. I want you to be in prayer. So couple things. I don't know if you would even do this, but if you would avoid social media at least till this evening, because we are actually going back and having a special meeting at Faith Community Church to tell our congregation. We've told the leaders, of course, but if we could keep it quiet for the next 5 or 6 hours, and at that point you can say yay or this is terrible, whatever you want to do. It's your Twitter. I don't care. Yeah, I hope not. But God's good, and this is not only God's will. God has great things in store for this church. I can't wait to just get to serve with Pastor Carlos and to